Let's open our Bibles, please, in 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, commencing to read at verse number 12. Let us follow the reading of God's infallible truth. 1 Samuel chapter 17, and commencing to read at verse number 12. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to battle. And the name of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, the next was Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000 and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning, and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he was talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. The men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and that taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard what he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, Moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion, and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine, And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded a sword upon his armor. He is said to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. He took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And a sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I am come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give it into our hands. It came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand into his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. And David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until they come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of Sherem, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to that reading of God's precious word for Jesus' sake. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word today. We thank thee that thy word is an encouragement, a word of blessing. Lord, we thank thee that thou art mighty today, that thou art almighty. We thank thee that thou art the sovereign one, and Lord, we believe that with all our hearts. And we believe, Lord, that you've said in thy word that you'll work all things together for good to them that love God. And so, Lord, today we bow humbly and reverently in thy presence, and we worship thee today, the great God Jehovah of heaven and earth, the one before whom all knees shall bow one day, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Bless us as we worship thee. And as we gather around thy word, speak afresh to our hearts and make it a blessing to us. And Lord, make us careful this day to give to thee all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. For thou alone art worthy, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And amen. On Thursday night when we gathered in the Bible study, we opened the Word of God together, and we studied together how God uses problems even in our lives for his good. And we noticed that there were seven wonderful ways that God can use situations in our lives. And I believe that God's word was an encouragement to us, and I deeply appreciate the many that expressed that God had spoken to their hearts and God had encouraged them, and that God had strengthened them in the battle. But this morning I want to speak upon the subject, encountering life's Goliaths and gaining the victory. Encountering life's Goliaths, or life's giants, and gaining the victory. I'm sure there's not one, perhaps from the, many of the small children even, in this service this morning that knows the story of David and Goliath. We read quite a part of it this morning, a mighty story of a young man that was truly out and out for the Lord. A young man, David, who put the honor and the glory of God far beyond any other consideration. Indeed, he was one who put Matthew chapter 6:33 into perspective. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I believe that David did that very thing. When I was looking at David's life, and when God spoke about David, if you turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 13, and in the verse number 14 it says this, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And here we find that God is seeking a man after his own heart, a man that puts God first. And I believe that that is something that each and every one of us need to be. Those that will put the Lord first and be those that would be after God's own heart. Love the things that God loves and stand for the things that God stands for. I was thinking what Paul said concerning David in the New Testament. And if you turn to Acts chapter 13, you'll find the testimony concerning David that is given in the New Testament by the Apostle Paul. And in Acts chapter 13 and verse 22 it says this, and when he had moved him, or removed him, that was when God removed Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. And friend, here we find that God found this man. And God has this man that was after God's own heart and is seeking to fulfill all God's will. Now that doesn't mean that David was faultless. Because whenever you read the story of David, you find that David was not faultless. Because there were some very sad scars in the life of David and things that marred his life and brought trouble into his life. But David was one who believed the Lord. And God said he was a man after mine own heart. And God said, I found a man. I found a man after mine own heart that would fulfill my will. I wonder today, could God say that concerning you, or God say that concerning me? I have found a man, I have found a woman after mine own heart that will fulfill my will. Now you will remember that before we come to chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, that David had been anointed king. You remember he was taken from his sheep and he was brought into the presence of Saul, and Saul has anointed David to be God's chosen servant for Israel. And yet we find that when you come to chapter 17, it says in verse 15, but David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. You say, why did David go back to feed sheep? Didn't God call him? And hadn't God anointed him to be king? The reason is this, my friend. He was a man after God's own heart that was willing to wait on God's time. He was not willing to do or desire to do anything in the flesh by the timing of man, but he was willing to do what God wanted him to do. And whilst he was brought to the palace and he played the harp before King David, or before King Saul, whenever an evil spirit entered into him, yet here we find in chapter 17 that David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep. He was waiting on God. He was allowing God to work out God's will. He was God's choice. But he was not willing to ascend the throne in the flesh. He was willing to move at God's bidding to do what God wanted him to do in the time that God wanted him to do it, because he was one that desired to fulfill the will of God. And so David goes back to the feeding of the sheep at Bethlehem, and he leaves the working out of God's plan to God. A lot of people today to say they believe in the sovereignty of God, friend. And yet in reality, they don't practice that in their lives, because God is sovereign in all things. But David here knew that God was sovereign. And when he knew that God was sovereign, that God was going to work this out in accordance to his will, in his plan and his purpose, he didn't need David's working of the flesh. He needed David to fulfill God's will and be willing to go with God. And so we find the palace of no personal attraction to David, but he moved at God's command, and David went and returned from Saul. He was happy to serve with the sheep until God put him on the throne. You know, it's good to be happy in the Lord. We started this morning, rejoice in the Lord. And you know, friend, it's good to be happy just to wait on God and to wait on God's timing and God's purposes and God's plan, because God will work all things together for good to them that wait upon the Lord, to them that wait for God's will, and them that rejoice in the plan and the purpose of God. And then one day something happened. A mighty giant came forth against the children of Israel. And here we find in chapter 17 that there was a time of conflict, because if you look in verse number 1 of chapter 17, the Philistine armies gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shukoh, which belonged to Judah, and they pitched between Shukoh and Azekah. And so we find that there is a battle here that is taking place, the Philistines against the children of Israel. Now, I earnestly believe with all my heart that there is a significance in the timing of this battle. You will remember this, that God had departed from Saul. And we find that Samuel now has left Saul. And because of that, the news of Samuel's leaving and the trouble that Saul is in has reached the enemies. And the enemy believes that now is the time to attack. No longer is Samuel with Saul. The Spirit of God has left Saul, and Saul is still the king. And so we find that the news has traveled to the enemy, and they hear about Samuel forsaking Saul and about the king's distraction by an evil spirit. And so they believe that now was a suitable time. Now was the opportunistic moment to attack the children of Israel. And yet, friend, I want to tell you, God used in this story here, whilst man had planned and proposed, God used the wrath of man to praise him. God's sovereign. And God even used the plans here, the plans of the enemy against the people of God here. God uses this very attack against the people of God to be the means of God overcoming the enemy. And God said, now is the time. Yes, the enemy said, now is the time. Because Saul is weakened. Because of the tragedy that's amongst the children of Israel. And the division that's amongst them. Now is the time to attack. Now is the time to advance against them. And the Philistine army set themselves against Israel. And yet God was using the very wrath of man to praise him. Now it was a sad day in Israel. But God people here are under attack. I wonder, did you notice there in verse number 1 it says this. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle. And it says they were gathered together unto Shukoh, which belongeth to Judah. You mark that. It belonged to Judah. The enemy was there in the place that belonged to Judah. The territory that belonged to Israel, that belonged to Judah, friend. And we see that the enemy is there standing, challenging, and throwing out his challenge against the people of God here in territory that belonged to the children of Israel. And a Goliath steps forward, and he brazenly defies the armies of Israel. It's a very sorry picture. The army of Israel, look at verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and they were greatly afraid. And the roar of the enemy, the roar of Goliath against them, made them afraid. Verse 8 says, and Goliath stood and he cried unto the armies of Israel, and he said unto them, why are you come unto me to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you out a man for you, and let him come down to me. Did you notice something else? Did you notice verse number 8, it says this, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul, not servants of God. They were servants of Saul. Because the tragedy was this, friend. They were no longer walking in submission to the Lord. They weren't the servants of the Lord. They were the servants of Saul. They were doing the king's bidding, but they weren't the servants of the Lord. And Goliath stands and he's laughing and he's mocking and he waves his big sword up there in the air and he says in verse number 10, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that he may fight, that we may fight together. And the tragedy is today that the devil challenges the church of Christ. And he defies the church of Jesus Christ. And he says, give me a man to defend the name of the Lord. But alas, the church of Christ stands impotent and weak. And in reality, few there are who seem to care. And few there be to pray. And for 40 days they challenge through Goliath the armies of Israel. And then one day, Jesse calls his son. Now it's amazing because Jesse thinks he's doing just a simple thing. He's looking after his boys. And so he calls his youngest son. David is his youngest boy. He has got 8 boys. 3 of his sons are in the battle. His 3 eldest boys, there was Saul in the battle. But there's 5 other sons that are not in the battle. But notice he calls for David. I want to tell you, friend, this is God's sovereignty again. He calls for David, his youngest boy. And so Jesse sends David on a mission. It wasn't by chance that he chose David. Because this was God's day. This was the day that God would send his servant David into the fray against the enemy and lead his people to victory. And so we find that Jesse sends his youngest boy and he tells him to run to the camp. And with zeal and with promptness, his boy runs to the camp. It's a dangerous place. But the Bible says he runs. And with diligence of duty to his father and to his brother, we find that David runs to the camp. And when he arrives there, he hears Goliath defying the armies of the Lord. You know, something happens in David's heart that day. David's heart stirred. Friend, when you see the enemies of God laughing at the people of God and the work of God, friend, does that stir your heart? Does that trouble your heart? Is there something within you that stands and is stirred because of the name of the Lord your God? And when it comes to verse number 32, it says, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of this Goliath. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Because he has a zealousness for the things of God. But you know, before he ever faced Goliath, friend, he had to face 2 little battles. And I believe that he had to fight 2 small battles before he'd ever fight the big battle. And you say, what are the 2 little battles he had to fight? First of all, he had to fight his brother in his misunderstanding. Because when Eliab heard David say that he would go, his brother misunderstood. He said, it says in verse 28, and Eliab's eldest brother heard when David spoke unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. He was misunderstood by his brother. His brother. Friend, he had to fight in his own heart that battle.
His brothers must understand him. You see, he was misjudged by his brothers. And his brothers judged him, his brother judged him wrong. Eliab said, listen, he said, why have you come? His father sent him. That's why he came. He was obedient to his father. He was doing his father's will. I tell you, that's a good reason for taking a step and running into the battle, friend, whenever you're obeying your father's will. And so we find that he was misunderstood by his brother. And then whenever the king heard about it, it says there in verse number 33, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. He had to fight against the king's questioning of him. And the king questioned, listen, you're not able. You're not able. And here we find that this young man, David, in the midst of it, he has to battle against misunderstanding and even false questioning. But David has only one thing in his heart. He is stirred up for the testimony of God. He is zealous for the Lord God of Israel. And he said, I will go. He said, let no man's heart fail. Because of him, thy servant will go, and I will fight with this Goliath. Fighting your Goliaths. You know, the Bible tells us that there's a great enemy against the people of God today. We're surrounded on every hand. It says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual darkness and wickedness. And friend, the Church of Jesus Christ has been defied today. Sad to say, there are many who have lost. And do not be stirred in their soul whenever the testimony of God is lying in defeat and discouragement. And here we find a young man that's willing to stand. Of course, Saul finally lets him go. He puts on his armor. He dresses him up there. He puts on his helmet. He puts on his brass upon his body. And he gives him the shield. He gives him the sword. But friend, that's not what David is used to. He hasn't proved these. He's only a youth. And God didn't tell him to do this. And so we find that David said, I can't go. I've never proved these. But he had proved the sufficiency of God. You see, the arm of flesh will fail you. And friend, if you and I try to fight the Lord's battle in the arm of flesh, we are doomed to failure. You cannot trust your own. Put on the gospel armor and watching on to prayer where duty calls or danger. Be never wanting there. But the world will offer you the armor of the flesh. Oh, the world will say, yes, fight the battle. But many will try to fight the battle of God, friend, in the flesh. And they'll put on the armor of the world to fight the Lord's battle. But you'll not succeed. Because you don't overcome the flesh by the flesh. You've got to overcome by the Spirit. And I want you to see, friend, what David did. He just threw off. He said, I can't. This is no use for me. I can't fight this battle. This is the Lord's battle. I can't fight this battle in the flesh. He said, listen, take this armor. And he says, it's no use. And he walked to a brook, friend. And he picked up 5 smooth stones. And he got a bag with him, and he put them in the bag, and he got a sling. And he faces a giant with 5 smooth stones. I want to ask the question this morning. How do we overcome? How do we confront life's giants? And I'll give you 5 smooth stones. First of all, go back to chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, it says this. Verse 12, and he sent and brought him in. That's Samuel is sent for the youngest, who was out there in the field with the sheep, and he was brought in. Now he was ruddy, and with all a beautiful countenance and a goodly to look to. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Friend, there's the first stone. How do you and I overcome life's giants? How do you and I confront and face the enemy of our soul and the enemy of Jesus Christ and the enemy of the church of Jesus Christ? Do we do it in the armor of the flesh? No, the first stone, friend, is this. It's the Spirit of God. And I tell you, that's the secret. And that was the secret of the real victory, because it was the endowment of the power of God that made the difference in David's life. Because without the power of the Spirit, friend, David would never have succeeded. It says, "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward." You see, without the Spirit of God, friend, are you relying upon the Spirit of God and the guidance of the Spirit of God, then you will settle for another substitute. And I'll tell you, that substitute will not win. It has to be the Spirit of God. You see, there can be plenty of activity, friend, but activity without spirituality, without the Spirit of God, friend, it will be absolutely useless. And man will never defeat the enemy in his own strength. David was empowered by the Spirit of the Lord. What does Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6 say? "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord." And there are many today, let me tell you, even in God's work, and they're occupied with strategies and they're occupied with organizations. And friend, they don't see that the church of Jesus Christ today is weak because it lacks the power of God. They do not see that the secret of victory, overcoming the giant, overcoming the Philistine, overcoming the flesh, it's not by the flesh, it's by the Spirit of the Lord, because battle against the flesh will not be won by the flesh. It must be won by Spirit-filled people of God. Oh, the Word of God says, be filled with the Spirit. And that's the secret of victory, brethren and sisters. And the first smooth stone that you've got to take is to realize that it is not by your might, it's not by your power. Yes, you are confronted by a great array of enemies. Yes, friend, we are circled about with the spiritual wickedness and darkness and evil which abounds, and the power of hell that abounds against the people of God. But I'll tell you, you will never overcome in the flesh. It says the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. And that's what you and I need. Oh God, fill me with thy Spirit. This is a day when we must take a stand. This is a day that we need to blow the trumpet of the gospel, friend. And I'm talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. For let me tell you this. That's what we're fighting for. The old ship of Zion. The old gospel's sake, it's for God and for truth and for righteousness, and to blow that trumpet of God if we are going to confront the enemies of the gospel of Christ and the enemies of souls and the ecumenical apostasy and popery and Romanism that's abounding in every hand and every false doctrine that's against us. We will never do it in the flesh. Oh, we have and can, but we fail. It's the Spirit of the Lord. And that's what our province needs, is a mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost. That's what the Church of Jesus Christ needs. Friend, that's what you and I need. That day by day infilling and outpouring of the Spirit of God for without the pouring out of the Spirit of God upon us, friend, you will encounter life's giants, but you'll not gain the victory. Then secondly, very quickly, what I want you to notice is this. Secondly, not only was it the stone of the Spirit of God, but secondly, he remembered past victories. Go back in your Bible here, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Go to verse number 32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this fellow." Friend, listen, that could have been seen. This was the flesh. But it wasn't. It wasn't. Why? Saul said to David, verse 33, "Thou art not able to go against the Philistines to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, verse 34, "Thy servant kept his father's flock, or his father's sheep. And there came a lion, there came a bear, and he took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and I smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he hath defied the armies of the living God." You see, friend, the Philistines saw these children of Israel as the servants of Saul. But you notice how David saw it. They're defying the armies of the living God. The living God. Verse 37, he says this. This wasn't pride speaking, friend. This wasn't pride boasting about the lion and the bear. Verse 37, David said, moreover, "The Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." You see, David had proven God's power already. He had already proved the Lord in his life. And whenever he saw the giant against him, listen, he reminded himself, he recollected, he remembered past victories. He remembered when he came against the lion. He remembered when he fell into the paw of the bear, and the bear would, humanly speaking, tear him apart. But he caught him. He said, "I caught him by the beard." And he said, "And I smote him, and I slew him." But he said, "I did it because the Lord delivered me." And he said, "You know, I approve God. See, the Lord has already done great things for me." Child of God, whenever you're facing life's giants, let me tell you, will you just sit back and think about what God has already done in your life? How many times has God intervened for you in the past? How many times has God delivered? I used to sing a wee hymn, God delivers again. God delivers again. And friend, just as the children of Israel came to the Red Sea, and humanly speaking, it was absolutely impossible. The enemy was approaching. It was humanly disaster. But God. And that's what thrilled the heart of David, friend. He said, "Listen, I remember Saul. I remember God delivering me in the past. Listen, God can do it again." And so he had already proved God. And friend, because he had already proved God, he knew that God could do it again. You know, it's so easy to get caught up with the armor. It's so easy to get caught up with the size of the giants that are against us, friend. David got caught up with God. And he knew the power of God. And I believe with all my heart, friend, you know what David was saying? He was giving us an example here. Because before that we'll ever win the battles in public, we must win the battle in private. And David had already won the battle in his private life. He struggled against the enemy in his private when he was just away there on his own. And he was watching after the father's flock, and God had given him the victory in his private life. And now he steps out into the public. He says, I know God. I know what God has done for me. And it says in verse 37, and he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. The second stone was he remembered. He recalled past victories. For God is the God of power. Thirdly, go to verses 45 to 47. I know time's away this morning. And you'll see the third stone is the Word of God. Where do you think that David got this confidence he had in God, friend? I'll tell you where he got it. He got it on the hillside. When he was out there in the sheep, looking after the Father's flock, and there he had sweet communion with God. He wrote the words of that psalm. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will neither slumber nor sleep. It was the word of God he was depending on, friend. It was the Word of God. And that's where he got his confidence. He didn't get it in the flesh. He got his confidence in the Word of God. And I say to you, no matter what giant comes up against you this day, child of God, listen. All the answers to your doubts and your fears and your perplexities, all your answers are in the Word of God. Well, so often we go to man to try and get the answer. What about going to God, friend? What about going to God's Word? What about depending upon Him? Because I'll tell you, the secret of David's confidence was the secret place of communion with God. Let me ask a question this morning. How much time do you spend with God in the private? How much time do you spend around God's Word, friend? How much time do you spend in fellowship with God? How much time do you spend before His throne and seeking His face in prayer? And it's a challenge to all of our hearts today, because I'll tell you this. If you want to win the battle for God, and if you want to face the giants that are coming against you, praise God, the answers are in the Word of God. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. What promises there are in God's Word to stay us in the day of trouble. God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters are off roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, not make miserable, shall make glad. The Lord of hosts is with us. And the God of Jacob, our refuge. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And he took the word of God and he believed the word of God, because he was one that knew what it was to spend time in communion with God. Said in Psalm 119, in that great psalm, in the verse number 97 and 98, it says this: Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Praise God, friend. You can overcome, so can I. More than conquerors through him that loved us. Lastly, he walked by faith. See, his eyes were upon the Lord. Verse number 45. He said, then said David to the Philistines, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I am come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. You're not defying David. You're not defying me, David. You're not defying Saul. You're defying God. You're defying God. You see, others saw Goliath too big to hit. But David saw Goliath too big to miss. That's faith, friend. See, the enemy comes out. Goliath came out 40 days in a row, friend. And with a fine, you know what Israel was doing? They huddled together. They were so afraid. You know what the devil wants us to do? The devil wants us to huddle together, friend, in fear. I believe that God wants us to bring us together in faith. In faith. For God is going to do something great. For God is a great God. And all the honor and all the glory will be unto him. Just 5 smooth stones. Listen, he was covered nearly from head to toe in brass. But he forgot to cover his face. And David took one wee stone. And he put it into the sling, friend. And let me tell you, don't you think that the sling was something new? Because in actual fact, it was something that was used. Let me just show you one wee verse to show you this. In the book of Judges chapter 20. In Judges chapter 20, this is what it says. In verse 16, among all this people were 700 chosen men left-handed. Every one could sling stones at an hair breadth and not miss. That's what it says, and not miss. Now it says in the next verse, about the men of war with swords. But there were those that could sling a stone. And they could sling it. And they could hit the target at a hair's breadth. And they would never miss. And praise God, one was David. And he hit the spot. And the stone sucked into the enemy's head, and he fell with his face to the ground, and David ran to him and he took his own sword. Thank God, there was God's laugh. David took Goliath's own sword and cut off his head. I don't know what giants you'll face this week, friend, but I have no doubt you will. But I'll tell you this, you can have the victory. If you look to him, the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're the God of battles. We thank you, the victorious God. We thank you that David, the young lad, could face a mighty giant. And yet our God, our Heavenly Father, he could slay him. Because he came in the name of the Lord. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll fill us with thy Spirit. That as we face our Goliaths this week, that, oh God, you'll make us more than conquerors through him that loved us. We pray in Jesus' precious name.